This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Look how cute you look.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. A couple months, a month or two ago.
Was it for a Speed Racer? Or
no, well, they cut it for Speed Racer into like a very extreme bob and dyed it black. And then I thought it would be a little bit easier to grow out if it wasn't black.
That's okay. It's
thank
very
you.
Wednesday.
Really? That's funny.
It Wednesday grown up.
It's Louise Brooks.
Well, when it was like that, it was Louise Brooks. Yeah, it was a little intense. I was like, I don't need to see this much of my face ever. So
what's it like for the film to finally be coming out?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, I really have loved this movie from the beginning and just thought that it's like a really valuable movie to have that out there in the marketplace and for people to see and sort of get the message of. So.
Do you know why the reason that they kind of changed the opening date so many times?
I don't.
Why it was delayed? Yeah. It switched distribution companies. I've seen Miramax initially, and now these guys, Summit.
Why do you think people judge each other for the way they look, i.e. physical attraction?
I.e. physical attraction? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Don't they say that's some kind of like a biological imperative kind of thing? I've heard you're looking for the immune system that will fill in the blanks in yours. I've heard, I don't know what else. There's some other biological one that I've heard recently. I'm not sure.
It's just interesting.
Oh, well, also you're supposed to, you know, be attracted to your parents, you know. That happens. Everybody finds a father figure and or a mother figure.
You being behind the mirror and that the guys would see you, that changed it. So can you speak to that?
About people being,
why they judge each other for their looks?
Well, I think she does have a pig nose. I mean, you know, it is an abnormality. And I think that it would be something that you would definitely have to get past. And so, I mean, I don't blame them for their initial reaction being a bit shocked or startled. I don't think they have to run screaming. But I definitely think it's sort of proven with James's character that once he does talk to her and he does get to know her and they do click in a sort of, you know, they do respond to each other on an emotional level, that then when he sees her, it is something that he's taken back by, but he literally sees her and sees what she's probably had to deal with her whole life and all this stuff, and you can tell in that scene, which is beautifully played by James, because you get the feeling that what he's really thinking about is like, oh God, she's had to deal with this forever, and thinking about who she is in spite of it and all that stuff. So, but I mean, you know, we are all very superficial.
Did you ever go off set wearing the nose?
Well, I would go in my trailer, and then sometimes, or I'd be like about to walk out to like the sock shop and then realize that I had my nose on and I wasn't allowed to leave. So
did you get used to wearing it?
No. Well, I mean, I got used to it, but I had this rule that I couldn't touch it or acknowledge it until 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 hours before wrap, because if I started in the beginning of the day, I would just be irritated by it all day. But if I waited till then it was only 3 hours of me being like, oh, get this thing off of me. Yeah.
You said, sorry.
Could you talk about the process and the experience, that kind of makeup? They kind of cast your face, or how?
Yeah, initially they did a face cast. And then Scott, who did the prosthetic, he just started, you know, building and working on the noses and the prosthetics and how to make them look, the most seamless. And then, you know, he does all that work while I'm not around. And then I come to set and, you know, they just, every day a new one, just they glue it on your face.
Did you have any special requests?
No, I fell asleep a lot. Well, we had a couple different noses that they tested at one point, and Mark and Scott kind of had this, like, really hideous awfully unattractive snout that they wanted. And then there was like kind of like the really cute Miss Piggy snout. All the girls were like, oh no, we should have that one. And so then we ended up like meeting somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
What to you is the single most important message of the film?
That, I think for me, the most important message is that is to not allow your insecurities and the criticism that other people put on you to cripple you and to keep you from living your life. I mean, because Penelope's literally trapped in a house because she's ugly. And what better metaphor for, you know, people not going out and enjoying life or seeing amazing things or, you know, going to the beach because you think you're fat or something. And, like, people not experiencing life because they're so insecure. It's that they're literally crippled and trapped. So I think that's, for me, a huge message in it that I think people need to learn a little bit earlier and be a great thing to teach your children. And also, to sort of, really, the message of the movie in the end is self-acceptance. And she ends up loving herself. She ends up appreciating all the qualities that make her who she is and not attaching anything negative to, like, she just, it is what it is. And what it only has to be negative if you let it be, you know?
Mm-hmm. To James, what do you think his character teaches you about love? And also, what was it like to work with him?
What does he teach? I think that's the first time she's really liked anyone who's been in there. I think he's very soulful, and she hasn't seen a lot of men like that. Mostly they're superficial, and he's mysterious to her. And I think in the end, she doesn't understand that his look is not sympathetic, because he doesn't feel sorry for her, but more empathetic. Mm-hmm. And that when he won't marry her, it's, you know, he has the honesty that love is, you know, honest, I think.
And working with James?
James was great. He's amazing. He's such a good actor and very dedicated. And, you know, when you work with a really great actor, you have this feeling of sort of being like partners in crime. And he certainly gave me that sense of like trust and teammateness. Yes. So funny. We block all those things immediately. I don't think anyone realizes it. I can't remember a sex scene. I can't remember making out with any specific people. It's all just like hitting your mark, not blocking the other person's light, that kind of stuff.
How was working with Catherine?
Great. I really love her.
Yeah.
I've always been a huge fan of hers, and she was always everybody's first choice in this movie, and she's just hysterical. And finally, one day, like, Simon and I got up the courage to sort of gush and tell her everything we loved about her. Yeah. And she's such a lovely person, so she was just very gracious about it. And then I asked her, I was like, how do you do your drunk? Because your drunk is the best drunk I've ever seen.
Right. And which drunk were you specifically thinking of?
Waiting for Guffman.
Ah, okay.
Because I saw that movie, I think, 4 times in the theater. Uh-huh. And it starts in the thing in the Chinese restaurant, it's a wide shot. It's all 4 of them. But you're like, in 1 second, immediately it cuts to it, and you're like, what's wrong with Catherine? And then you realize she's drunk. But even from far away, like, she just gives off, like, she's not doing anything, and you can tell. It's just sort of this amazing quality. And then she sort of went through and was encouraging us to be more, like, spontaneous and not be afraid of, like, getting yelled at if we, like, ad-lib or make something up. And and she taught us how she had put her own drunk together and how we needed to do the same. And I was like, all right, it's cool.
Going along with, what was it like working with Reese Witherspoon's producer? What was it like working with her? Is she very hands-on, or...?
She was very hands-on. She wasn't there the whole time because it was in the middle of award season, and it's when she won her Academy Award and everything. So she was not there the whole time, but she was very involved. You know, I know she saw dailies every day, and she sent notes to set and all that stuff. And then when she came, you know, we just had a good time. We were just, like, running around the streets of London doing stupid things.
Any favorite stories or memories from...
I don't really. It was pretty funny. At one point, we were on the process trailer on the Vespa, and she's riding through London, and she's just won the Academy Award, And everybody's like screaming at her, yelling, and like, oh, that's Reese Witherspoon. Ah. And I was just like, yeah, 2 days ago, you were in a gown accepting the Academy Award. And now you're freezing cold in a ridiculous looking motorcycle helmet on a Vespa in the middle of London, looking like as twee as possible, both of us.
I wanted to switch to another subject and just ask you what your experiences were like in Berlin.
Oh, really good. I always say we because the cast was together all the time and, you know, it was very ensemble, but I had a great time making that movie. I love those directors so much. They're just amazing. And the cast was great and everything we got to do was so much fun, you know. Like, we were like little action figures.
What was your reaction? We're talking about Speed Racer. What was your reaction to seeing the trailer for the first time? And was that your first time seeing footage?
No. At the end of the film, the Wachowskis, as like a, you know, a little, not a gift really, but like a little morale booster for everybody, they edited together 15 minutes with some scenes that had shot, the scenes that had been completed with effects and some without effects, but just so that we could really get a feeling of the movie. And we were just, I was so excited. I couldn't really express my excitement properly, so I just pogoed Andy. And it's like nothing I've ever seen before. And it's so much fun and exciting, and the car chase stuff is just like crazy sort of like on the edge of your seat stuff. But then there's a story to it that's actually really touching and really moving. And there were boys crying after 15 minutes. I can't tell you if I had a heart.
There's a lot of people who are envious because they don't get to talk to the Wachowski brothers and they're big fans. What was the most surprising thing about working with them that you found?
Surprising. I guess I'm just at a point where I don't go into situations with any preconceptions because I've been in so many different situations. Like, they told me Woody Allen would never speak to me, and I walked on set, and he was like, why aren't you talking to me? So, at this point, I don't really put any kind of expectations on things, but I have gotten to know them as wonderful human beings, and as people who really sort of care about our world, and are very, they're just lovely, and smart, and kind, and, like, true, truly great, real people. And there's so many nights they're just like fun in Berlin, and they've definitely created a family for themselves with the people they work with all the time, same crew. And you understand they do that because they're, you know, really caring, great guys.
Do you play any instruments with your boyfriend? You know how you were playing in the band, you were playing together, they were playing instruments for you. You were trying to
play. Does Penelope play with James?
No, do you ever play in your life?
I don't really want to talk about that.
Oh, when we saw him recently for 2 Days in Paris, and he was always making cute, funny anecdotes, so he said he had, like, a funny little... Whatever.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the film? Can you say that?
Of what film?
This film.
Oh, I really like this film.
And he liked it too?
I really don't want to talk about that. I really like the film. I think it has a wonderful message for people of all ages, but especially for little girls. You know, we don't have very many role models for girls and women that, you know, you could take home and introduce to your mother kind of thing, you know? I mean, like...
Touching on that, I wanted to ask, you mentioned there's a lot of superficiality in the world, which there is. Mm-hmm. So how do you prepare for a role like this, and is there anything you identify with, you know, taking something out of your life or something you see that maybe affects you, and how do you put it into this kind of role?
Well, I think that you really have to, I mean, to play someone really well, you should fully understand them, who they are, and what's happening to them. And I think that, really for me, it was this idea of, like, your insecurities being blown so far out of proportion that you might as well have a deformity, you know, because there's a certain age when that happens, and you won't leave the house because you have a pimple, but it's like the worst thing that's ever happened in your life, or you get a bad haircut, and it's just like so blown out of proportion, but you really have emotionally turned it into something that you hate about yourself. And so I kind of took that, and I just sort of used that, her situation, as a metaphor, and you kind of slip in how you felt then. And it really, this movie for me is just all about people, their insecurities stand in the way of them having a wonderful, fulfilled life.
Was there a particular situation in your life that made you sort of relate to?
No, I mean, just generally kind of the idea of, you know, you choose to be happy, and you choose, the whole idea, like what the kid says, it's not the curse, it's the power you give the curse. It's sort of like if you choose to be criticized and to feel that criticism and to then carry it with you, then you're going to be miserably unhappy and insecure. But if you choose to lose that self-consciousness and that sort of importance you place on your physical appearance, then you'll actually get to be present in situations and see the world and enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.